Greetings, everyone. This is Nicholas from remnantofgod.org, Presence of God Ministry. Welcome to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. The website at www.remnantofgod.org. This broadcast is going throughout the nation on both AM and FM radio frequencies, as well as micro-broadcasters across America. It is also being broadcast across the globe on satellite, as well as internet radio. If you are using satellite radio, we can be found on Galaxy 13, Transponder 16, Audio 770. If you want to listen online, you can go to firstamendmentradio.com and click the listen button on the left side of the screen. If you need additional information as to what AM and FM radio frequencies to tune into, please stop by the website and click the antique radios on the main page of my website at remnantofgod.org. I invite you also to join me on the website at Remnant of God. Once there, click the silver microphone on the main page and follow the prompts to the public room in the POGM audio chat section of the website. You can share any comments or questions with me during the broadcast there live. And I also invite you to join us on Saturdays at noon for online church service. I do an online service from my home. We have many people that do join us online, and it's mostly for folks who can't make it to church, you know, shut-ins or broken-down cars or just don't have a church in your area. So that is available for you as well, and that's free. There is no cost for the software. So let's get right to it. I have a few articles I'd like to share this week. The topics are too short, yet easy to see as evil, but they're just too short to build as a complete show or a complete newsletter or a complete page on the website. They're just too blunt. In fact, I'm beginning to get a bit backed up on these types of articles, so I hope to share articles of this sort more often. They are too important to just pass up. I used to report on these articles on a daily basis on a page called Catholicism Quickies on the website. And that page, I would post the article and make a few quick comments regarding them. I also do a urgent breaking news page on the website when something's just overwhelmingly urgent. I'll put it on that page as well. Some of these articles are quite shocking, to say the least. Truth is, the Roman Church is so evil that I could probably do this each and every week and never run out of new material. In fact, I'm positive that if all I did was research the articles on this church and report on them and their obvious link to prophecy, I'd be able to do a daily show on the radio for 1 hour a day without any, it would be rather easy. It wouldn't be much trouble at all. That's just something to pray about, though, okay? Plus, even if it's a slow week, which it rarely is nowadays with all the things, especially during a political, situation as an election. So if it happens to be a slow week in news, I can actually use old articles exposing this church that many have forgotten about, or just for the sake of not seeing them, I would like to just report on them to keep them fresh, because this stuff can't be left off, just sloughed off. I mean, it's a church we're dealing with. Once the event occurs, or the blasphemous statement is made, or the crime is committed, it's never going to go away or become old news. Why? Well, because, like I said, it's a church. The Vatican claims to be the never-ending or the never-changing true church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, whatever it does, past, present, or future, is fair game for those of us that are called to prove this is indeed the synagogue of Satan. Now, before moving into the articles for this week, I'd like to ask your assistance on something. I'm about to share something that I received just the other day from a trusted source. As far as I know, there is more than one person in the process of verifying this as well as myself. I'm digging into this as well on the internet, trying to find out. I'm specifically appealing to those folks that live in Argentina. Yeah, for those of you that are listening, I'll also, regards to this, the letter actually came, or the information actually came to me in Spanish, and it had to be translated. Of course, a friend of mine did that for me. So if you have any information on this at all, please feel free to email me from my website, as many of you already do, at remnantofgod.org. Just go to the Contact Us page on the website and fill in the form, and please don't forget to put your email address in the form, because when the form comes to me, it comes to me clean. It does not come to me with your email address, which is kind of a problem. I'm probably going to have to switch that over, because I am getting hate mail, and they're doing it to where they figure they know they can't be traced or something. So anyway, I understand most of you don't like to call in to the radio during these broadcasts because of the sensitive nature of my broadcasts, and I understand that, and I also understand most of you prefer not to call in because it would stop the flow of information that I share, because I've got so much, it just keeps going. So just email me this info if you get it. It would be a lot better for all concerned anyway, and do not worry, I will not divulge your name to anyone, shape, or, anybody, nobody, regarding any information that you share with me, unless you request credit for doing so. All I want is the sources. Now, this small little clip I got, this little note that came from someone out in the Argentine area, I want to share this with you. It's headlined, "The Truth About the Asuncion Massacre." Before anybody else tells you, have you heard the info about the supermarket explosion here in Asuncion, with 300 dead and many wounded? I tell you the truth, it was another secret Jesuit action, or the same type as the Gemelas Towers or the train wreck in Spain. All form a part of the plan to scare the public and institute new laws to reduce our individual liberties and thus prepare the way for the Universal Sunday Law. It was planned, or it was a planned massacre. There were two explosions at rush hour, just a day after everybody got paid. The supermarket was full, and when the bombs exploded, the people rushed for the front door, and the employees locked the front door in their faces, forcing them to burn to death. And because of the bulletproof glass, the people outside watched helplessly as the people inside burned to death. It was horrible. The people that were out in the streets saw and testified that it was an organized crime. Please pass on this info, because the news media in Argentina will surely not tell the truth, but the people here now know the truth because they saw it with their own eyes. Soon I'll write more on this horrible crime as we approach the Sunday laws. God bless, and he initials it. So, again, if you heard anything on this at all, contact Presence of God Ministry at remnantofgod.org. Just go to the Contact Us link on the main page. You see it up on the top right, and just send me the info, if any info that you have on this. It will be much appreciated. We all know the Vatican is involved in a lot more than the media is letting on about. Just the fact that they protect them regarding all the different types of lawsuits is evident that some palms are being greased and some lives are being threatened. Everything from wars to the Twin Towers are designed to generate unjust laws that will eventually have us all bogged down by governing authorities, that the mark of the beast will eventually become a reality. Those of us that are Christian understand that the prophecy is true. We also know there is only one entity on earth that the prophecy declares is the beast. And we also understand that the Vatican has admitted in writing more than once that Sunday keeping is her mark of authority, even on the Protestant faith. They even use the term mark of authority in two of these quotes. I got dozens of these quotes, but two of them actually use the word mark. And we are all painfully aware that John Paul II asked for civil laws to be put in place in all nations across the world that would enforce Sunday laws in his 1998 document called Dies Domini, that was to all the churches and governing authorities around the world. It was sent to all of them. So, and yes, we are also aware that many nations, including the U.S. of A., have national Sunday laws on their books as we speak. They're not so much as enforced in some parts, but they're on the books. In fact, just a few days ago, on September 15th, the Slovene nation joined the ranks of peoples wandering after the beast in this new law that is encircling the globe at a record pace. So soon it will be vigorously enforced upon every man, woman, and child. If you think it's all going to happen like, boom, one day you wake up, it's no. It's going to slowly but surely get to a point where it's just going to fall into place, and then it will be vigorously enforced. And again, I state, for all those that still scoff and say the Sunday laws that the Sabbath-keeping Christians have been warning people about will never come to be in the USA or any other country for that matter, Well, you ignored the blue laws of the Roman Catholic President John F. Kennedy in 1962 to enforce his sunny laws in all governing agencies. You ignored it when the U.S. government started forcing all car dealers from buying and selling on Sundays back in the 1980s. You ignored the Sunday laws in Rhode Island, USA, that prohibit work on Sundays without a work permit on January 1st, 1999. If you don't believe me, go to the Rhode Island House of Representatives and read the law yourself. You ignored the Sunday laws in Tutamunga, Africa in 2000. You ignored the fact that Virginia passed laws by mistake in June of 2004 that prohibit buying and selling on Sundays. But for some strange reason, they haven't fixed it. And now, September 15th, you just ignored yet another prophetic event when they passed Sunday laws on all the Slovenian people just 4 days ago. Now, when will you realize your excuses and denying statements proclaiming Sunday laws are a farce? With all that's happening, what say ye now? If they are a farce, why is it they are doing exactly as the prophecy warned they would do? Now, who is the farce? The person that claims this is bogus. You are the farce now. You are the one exposed as in error, boldly and proclaiming. It's just overwhelmingly. That's because it no longer... Expect more strange so-called terrorist activities in all the nations of the world. Just expect this now, because especially when the governments realize that people won't go along with their satanic Vatican agendas. They will mass murder and maim as many as it takes so as to ensure they can speak and cause these unjust laws that go into effect that will fulfill their agenda. And if you think it's all a conspiracy theory, think again. It's a theory all the way up until the point you have factual evidence. So the truth is, people, it's no longer a theory. It's now become fact. It is our reality. So the scoffers are the ones that are looking like they got egg on their faces now. So, for those that still scoff, wait. Just wait until the next man-made disaster or the so-called terrorist attacks hit your area. If you survive it, watch how the government suddenly has a bunch of new laws that are supposedly designed to protect you, when in fact all they are designed to do is to control you. The mark of the beast is prophesied, and it is going to happen, whether you like it or not. You can scoff all you like. Certain laws need to be put in place for it to work. You know, I'm sure that in Noah's day, they not only laughed at him and scoffed at him for building that ark on dry land, they probably laughed at him regarding that notion of a global flood. Did that stop the now scientifically proven worldwide flood? No, it didn't, did it? So get your house ready. Get on your knees and repent and confess. You cannot stop what's about to happen, and you shouldn't even try. For do you think you can fight against a mighty God who stated long ago this is going to happen? I say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. This fight's no longer in our hands, people. It's a great controversy. It's a holy war we find ourselves engaged in. And our very souls are the prize both ends are fighting for. So don't bother thinking you can change the minds of the powers that be. Satan has been... He's even been preventing them from helping themselves. Big government was his plan to prevent the ones that would not go along with his plans in government. He has the majority, and he'll play it like a fine-tuned instrument. Stop thinking it's all going to get better soon. Stop hoping the governments of this world will realize their stupidities and just plain give up. The Lord's coming back, and they are doing all they can to prevent you from being ready for that event. The problem is, they're going to lose. The remnant of her seed cannot be swayed. So I say, get on the side of the Lord, for it is only here you will find eternal peace. Okay, I'm off the soapbox for now, but truth is truth, people. Prophecy is sure. It will happen. You cannot stop it. All you can do is get ready for what has already started. So let's move on to the articles I have for this week. Oh, and by the way, next week, I'll have a guest on the show that has written a paper that has been going from hand to hand at a rather frantic pace. After talking with him the other day, I'm not even sure he even meant for it to go as far as it did. Still, some got a hold of it and placed it on many websites. I'm talking about what Andrew Variano's paper, his paper entitled The 11 Facts About Peter the Apostle. I have it on my actual First Pope page on the RCC section, or the RCC Exposed section of my website at remnantofgod.org. When I first saw this paper, it about knocked me out of my chair. I couldn't wait to get it online, and to this day, that page on my site is one of the most popular pages that gets a lot of hits. Still, and it's huge. And many people are hitting it and awaiting it each and every day of the week. It proves, using not only historic fact, but scriptural facts, that Peter the Apostle was in no way, shape, or form a pope ever. So, I hope you tune in next week for that show. It's bound to raise a few eyebrows, to say the least. And then the week after that, author and pastor Robert Sessler of Let There Be Light Ministries at lightministries.com will be coming back to the show. But this time, we're going to be discussing what the churches of the world today refer to as rapture, or the rapture of the church. We will no doubt be sharing each and every scripture that speaks of the second coming of Jesus Christ, especially the ones the pre-trib preachers refuse to make mention of in their sermons, and for good reason. If they showed all the scriptures, you know, their 3.5 or 7-year trip theories would collapse like a house of cards. That's why they kind of clam up on certain scriptures. So please tune in for the next few weeks, as I expect a few eye-popping facts to be made known to some of you. A lot of you already know this stuff, but hey, it's the Nehemiah principle. It bears repeating. Okay, on with the articles. Yeah, I got this first article just a few days ago. It struck me a bit funny at the same time as hypocritical as well. But then again, you know, we're dealing with the Vatican, so this is bound to be expected. So anyway, nowhere on earth do you see such a wealth of disgusting information as you see coming from the so-called Holy See. Headline, Catholic hospital dumps abortionist. Doctor had been interim chief of obstetrics. Obstetrics, it looks like. I don't know. At a religious institution. This is from WorldMedDaily.com. Just got this the other day. I'm not going to put the whole article out right now. It's just too long. But I got a couple of high points. It says, an Illinois abortionist and obstetrician who had been serving as interim chief of staff of the OBGYN department of the Catholic hospital has been removed from that position by hospital managers 2 days after a WorldNet Daily report exposed the situation. St. Elizabeth Hospital of Granite City, Illinois, that's Granite City, Illinois, St. Elizabeth Hospital, which is sponsored by the Sisters of Divine Providence, informed Dr. Yagendra Shah on Thursday that his temporary appointment was being terminated. Granite City is about 10 miles east of St. Louis. Continuing, it says, Shah also operates the Hope Clinic, an abortion facility located just across the street from St. Elizabeth. The clinic, one spokesman said earlier, performs about 7,000 abortions annually. Now, according to the statement, or to a statement, released by the Springfield, Illinois Diocese of the Catholic Church, hospital administrators informed the head of the diocese, which is Bishop George Lucas, of their decision yesterday morning. The announcement comes on the heels of Tuesday's WorldNet Daily report that revealed Shah's relationship with St. Elizabeth and his apparent conflict of interest as an abortion provider. Shah, who has been on the hospital staff for about 20 years, was appointed as OBGYN chief several months ago, although the hospital became aware of his status as an abortion provider back in 1995. Is that amazing or what? The Vatican, that constantly declares they're anti-abortion, knew about this child killer working for them for almost 10 solid years, or should I say, after 70,000 murders. And the only reason he was let go, the only reason he was let go, was because a mainstream news source let the cat out of the bag. Again, just like we saw in Austria a few weeks ago. The Roman Catholic Church got caught red-handed allowing graphic evils to be done for so many years and then had no intentions of stopping it until it was made public. I still praise the Lord for that guy, whoever it was, that put that article in that newspaper in Austria that let everybody know that there were 40,000 pictures and videos of those little boys that were in that Austrian seminary that was supposedly there to be trained as priests were being molested and photographed as by doing so in child pornography by their instructors. And it had been going on for years, and the Vatican knew it. And they didn't do anything until it went public. And like here, just a mere 48 hours after the public were made aware, the Vatican supposedly did the right thing. Yeah, I wonder how many Roman Catholic hospitals out there are employing these murderers right now. Oh, and by the way, has anyone figured out why most hospitals charge so much for their services? Okay, well, you know, the insurance problems, okay, let's go play that game. But who, I ask, has the largest amount of hospitals the world over, and who is it that directs the price ranges of all the others? Because, you know, you're always going to go with whoever's doing it first. That's right, the Roman Catholic Church. So the next time you need a doctor, thank Rome for that life-altering doctor bill. Again, it's no longer a conspiracy when the facts are readily available. Next article. This is again from WorldNet Daily, April 14th, 2004. I just picked these out of a hat, you know, because I got a lot of these, but I just, you know, grabbed a few that kind of like struck my fancy when I saw them. But the headline goes, "Priest to lawmakers, don't emulate JFK. In opening prayer, cleric prays legislators would be antithesis of Kennedy." A Catholic priest who prayed to open a session of a Colorado House of Representatives has come under fire for asking God to make the lawmakers the antithesis of John F. Kennedy, saying politicians emulating JFK have led to a vacuum of morality in public debate. The so-called reverend, the Bible says reverend and holy is my name, saith the Lord, so you can't claim reverend if you're a preacher or a priest or whatever. Shouldn't be done. Anyway, this guy, Bill Carmody, who's a priest, Catholic priest, prayed that the state legislators would not be afraid to bring their faith into their decisions as elected officials. Carmody criticized Kennedy for saying he would not, or he could not, let his Catholic faith influence his policy decisions. And then Representative Alice Madden, a Democrat from Boulder, Colorado, was horrified that the priest criticized one of her heroes, reported the Rocky Mountain News, to use your cloth to make a political statement when you've been asked to speak to a body of legislatures seems particularly heinous to me, she told the paper. Now, by the way, you know, are you aware there is a Catholic group right now in Miami, Florida, that is asking for the IRS to shut down a Baptist church for doing what this Roman Catholic priest is doing right here, right now, for Rome? Think about that for a moment. Continuing, the article goes on to say that Kennedy made the pledge not to mix religion and politics in 1960 as he faced fears that if elected president, he would take orders directly from the Vatican. So I ask, is this the main reason the Roman Catholic Church wants JFK to be ignored? Well, okay, let's just call that a no-brainer and continue on with the article. All right, Almighty God, Carmody prayed, please change and convert the hearts of all the representatives in the House. May they be the antithesis of John F. Kennedy. May they be women and men of God, and may their faith influence and guide every vote they make. The Colorado House begins each day with a prayer, with different ministers invited to do the honors. Each is paid $25, according to the Denver paper. Clerics are told to keep the prayer non-sectarian, make it more like a thought for the day meditation, and keep it to 2 minutes. Well, here's what Carmody prayed in full. It's a short quickie, a little tiny prayer. It says, 40 years ago, John F. Kennedy, who was running for president, was under the intense scrutiny for his Catholic faith. He made a pledge to the nation that he would not allow his faith to influence his decisions as president. He honored that pledge. Sadly, politician after politician has followed Kennedy's footsteps and no longer bring their faith with them in public office. This has led to a vacuum of morality in public debate. Politicians now claim, I am personally opposed to this, but I cannot let my morality and or faith influence my decisions. I ask you, Almighty God, to change this. Now, he's talking in this prayer like this to the Lord. He goes on, he goes, I ask you, to Almighty God, to change this. I ask that the Catholics here present in this chamber bring their faith in making public policy decisions. I ask that evangelicals bring their faith when they vote on public policy. I ask that mainline Protestants bring their faith into the public square. I ask that the Jewish people here present bring their faith with them when they vote on issues of public policy. I ask that all people of faith here in this chamber truly be first and foremost people of faith. I ask that the representatives here present today will be men and women of God. If it costs them elections, so be it. It will bring this nation closer to God. Our nation needs people of God to represent them in public office. Our nation has seen enough of people who claim to be a person of God, yet never bring God or their faith into the public debate. Almighty God, please change and convert the hearts of these representatives in this House. May they be the antithesis of John F. Kennedy. May they be women and men of God, and may their faith influence and guide every vote they make. May God bless this chamber and our state. And that's it. That's it. Does this sound like Rome seeking a church and state U.S. government or a United States Church of America? Yes, it does. In fact, this has been Rome's agenda since day one. Many people may think, well, as I used to think, that Christians were solely responsible for the starting of this nation, but when you look at prophecy, you will see it as a two-faced beast. It is a nation, this nation, starts out as a lamb and eventually growls as a dragon. Of course, I go into a lot more detail on this on my USA and Prophecy page in the prophecy section of the website, but suffice it to say, have you seen the aerial photos I have of Washington, D.C. on my National Pride page in the warning section of the website, for example? How can anyone believe Christians were busy starting this nation when you have all that Roman architecture? Who can believe a Christian was the one that had the streets laid out that lead to the White House in the shape of a satanic pentagram that you can see from up above? I've got the aerial photos. Who believes a Christian was involved in creating the Pentagon, which is the internal shape of the pentagram itself? Who also believes a Christian was involved when you see the Capitol building from above? It depicts an exact duplicate of the ancient symbol of Satan that you find in the Book of Magic. It's a fat-headed bunny with a stick figure body. Look at the Roman dome. That's the fat nose. I got it on my website. Just go and you'll just look at the aerial photo. It's not hard to even describe on the radio. The Roman dome is the fat nose of the bunny. You see the cul-de-sacs that run behind the Capitol building? Those cul-de-sacs are, for some strange reason, in the shape of bunny ears. And look at the streets in the front of the building. That's most definitely not only the Masonic Square, but it's also a stick figure body. And by the way, we got a break coming up. There was another prayer that was prayed in these buildings not long ago that also caused an uproar. When Minister Joe Wright was asked to open the new session of the Kansas Senate, everyone was expecting the usual generalities. But this is what they heard. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good. But that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it lottery. We have awarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide us. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent to direct us to the center of your will. We ask in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The response was immediate, people. A number of legislators walked out during the prayer in protest. In 6 short weeks, there were logged more than 5,000 phone calls, with only 47 of them responding negatively. The church is now receiving international requests for copies of that prayer from India, Africa, and Korea. Commentator Paul Harvey actually aired that prayer on the Rest of the Story radio broadcast and received a larger response to that program than any other he ever done in his entire lifetime. You know, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. These men and women in our government, both federal and local, have been created to be our leaders, so we must pray for all of them. They have been ordained by God to stand in that position they stand. So pray for them. Stick around. We got more to share after the break. Welcome back, everyone. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. If you would like to call in during this last half of the broadcast, the phone number is 1-800-858-6582 or 559-733-5161 if you're using free long distance, whether it's on a cell phone or your home phone now. It seems the companies are fighting with each other, so that's our benefit. We can get some free phone calls, or cheap ones anyway. As I was saying before the break, Romans 13:1 said that let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. These men and women in our government, both federal and local, have been created to be our leaders, so we must pray for all of them. They have been ordained by God to stand in that position they're standing in, and pray that they have the wisdom to do exactly as they've been created to do. And remember, some will continue to do evil, just as sure as some will continue to do good. And as we all know, there have already been laws enacted that go directly against the will of the Creator God. Many of them were mentioned in that prayer. As Christians, we are aware that even though our government says it's okay to kill a baby, or it's okay to drink alcohol or smoke or look at pornography, we must not allow the laws of the land to undermine or go against the law of God. So, remember, even though our governments may say it's okay to sin, we know better simply because of our Creator's word on that. And as Christians, we must not allow the legalization of sin to draw us away from our Creator. Stand firm. That's all you got to do. Stand firm in the Lord and stand firm as American, too. However, when the laws of the land go against the law of the Lord, remember that it is written, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. It says that in Isaiah 9:16. So, remember, Acts 5:29, where it says, we ought to obey God rather than men. Okay, this next article is just one more proof of the hypocrisy coming from Rome. Headline, Archbishop announces new stance. This is published September 4th, 2004. The Associated Press is reporting this one. Archbishop Raymond Burke, who sparked a national debate on denying Holy Communion to abortion rights candidates, has given an opening to Catholics in his archdiocese who vote for such politicians. In June, Burke said Catholics cannot vote for candidates or policies in support of abortion and be worthy to receive communion. He now says Catholics can at times vote for those who favor abortion rights without committing a grave sin or having to go to confession. Gee, that's convenient. Continuing, he goes, in clarifying his stance this week, Burke said he believes Catholics could vote for a politician who supports abortion rights as long as that's not the reason they are voting for the candidate. Gee, that is so overwhelmingly convenient. I mean, now do you realize where John Kerry's getting this stuff, where he learned this technique, this flip-flopping thing? This is so Roman Catholic, this flip-flopping of statements. The Vatican finally realized that after they made that ridiculous statement, a month or two ago, that their church members weren't going to go along with them. I mean, it's amazing how they can get away with this. They can stand on a pulpit and speak political things without a problem. Nothing. No problem whatsoever. See, whenever a priest makes a statement in the and he's wearing his priestly attire, I don't care if he's standing in front of a microphone without a pulpit, he's on the pulpit. He's not supposed to be mixing church and state, but, hey. They're going to do it because that's how Rome is designed. This speaks volumes on the Catholic faith as well. I mean, it just doesn't work. This flip-flopping is confusion, and the true definition of the word Babylon is, in fact, to mix or confusion. I mean, chaos is their religion, and truth mixed with error is their doctrine. Just a few years ago, the Times News Service reported, I think it was back in 2000, that the Archdiocese of New York had issued a traditional dispensation permitting its 2.5 million Catholics who lived in Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, and several upstate counties, to eat meat on Friday. During Lent, when it is supposedly the sin to do so in Roman Catholic doctrine. It was allowed, in part, because St. Patrick is one of the church's patron saints, and his day is a day of feast. So they got to get the green beer and the with the corned beef they eat. Yet they only allowed this to occur in the Bronx area and a couple of counties in a small area. In other words, does this mean that? And I'm thinking this is what they're saying. I mean, does this mean that all the other areas of the nation that had people doing this, that where they just said it was okay, would be considered sinners if they did what the church in New York's doing legally? Such hypocrites, these so-called leaders, these religious leaders. This is not a Christian religion. This is a Roman Catholic club, and all its members direct the doctrines. And if you complain enough, you can actually get sin legalized. Now, this is the main reason Roman Catholicism is so popular. It not only preaches that you can be saved in your sins rather than from them, as the Bible teaches, but it also gives allowances for sins if there are enough people complaining about it. Now, this is the ultimate ear-tickling denomination on earth. Well, in fact, it's not even a denomination. It's actually a cult. Over 86% of its doctrines have not a single line of scripture to back them up. And I know, I used to teach Roman Catholic Catechism. And just a couple of years ago, I decided to go from page one to the last page. I got the book right here. It's The Converts Catechism of Catholic Doctrine, Catholic Doctrine by Peter Geierman, CSSR. It was published by the B. Herder Book Company. I went from page one to page 112. And I listed every single solitary verse that was ever given for the, 476 questions? There were 778 answers, because some of the questions have multiple answers. 56 Bible verses used. And most of them were out of context, but out of the sake of illustration and, you know, giving, you know, humoring them, I decided just to go ahead and say, okay, let's say they're all in context. That would mean 86.2% of their doctrines aren't in the Bible. And again, I go into a little bit more detail, or a lot more detail on that in my Characteristics of Antichrist page. It's in the prophecy section of the website. It's one of the characteristics. They will preach another Jesus is that particular characteristic that you have to go to. Oh, and something else I've been noticing lately. Now, and this is a little off topic for now, but the thing is, it's just bugging me. I've been seeing this a lot lately on the TV, and I only get like five channels where I'm at, and, you know, and sometimes I'll stop and I'll watch TBN, you know, Trinity Broadcasting Network. It's the ultimate network that Satan's using. You rarely will see anything on there that glorifies the Lord. Rarely. I mean, Dr. Karl Baugh's on there every now and then, the creationist scientist. That guy's, oh man, I got all his, well, not all of them, but a lot of his videos. It's awesome, some of the stuff he has. But anyway, they'll do a 30-second or a 45-second or a one-minute spot where they're advertising a particular preacher or whatever. And every now and then you'll see this. They'll pull an excerpt out of a guy's sermon where he's really on fire when he's throwing it out there and he's really talking about it. And they're all, it's all the same clips, but it's just different guys saying it with different sermons and different ways of saying it. But they're all saying the same thing that the Vatican's been saying since its inception, and more so since the wound was healed in 1929 when Mussolini signed the pact with Gasparri. They've been saying all the faiths have to come together. And then since June 26th, year 2000, when the Pope was elected leader of the One World Church, boy, they've been going whole hog with this thing then. Ever since then, saying everybody, all the religions have to come together. They all have to come together. Now, watch that. Just humor me for a minute. Get a chance, when you get a chance sometime this week, just, you know, when you're kicking back, flip the channels to get to TBN and just wait for the commercials or whatever. Or wait, like, do it mid-hour, like when the commercials are hitting. And watch what they're saying. They're all saying the same thing the Pope's saying. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Mennonite, it doesn't matter anymore. We all should come under the same banner of Jesus Christ. How many years ago was it when everybody realized that, okay, you may call yourself Christian, but you're not talking about the same Jesus my Bible's talking about. But now it doesn't matter. As long as you use that name, Jesus Christ, everybody's all hunky-dory. It really started hitting it like crazy when you got that Promise Keepers thing going on, where every denomination on earth just about was getting in there. And I got some friends that have websites on that Promise Keepers stuff. It's some scary stuff that's going on over there, but I don't want to get into it. That's a whole other topic. I haven't done enough research on it, but I do know what I see that's going on there is very dangerous. And it doesn't look so bad, you know, but when you look at what the end result is, slowly but surely, it's kind of like the frog in the boiling water situation. You can't throw him in there, he's going to hop out. But if you put him in cool water and then turn up the heat, he's going to just, you'll cook him to death. He won't jump out. It'll be too late. that's what's going on. And same thing's going on with our laws, too. If you look at, you know, ever since the Twin Towers or even before that, they're not going to just dump all this stuff in your lap overnight. I mean, there is going to come a day when, like it did in Hitler's day, like one morning you go to sleep in a free nation, the next morning you wake up in martial law. That's going to happen eventually, but the laws have to be put in place first. And that's slowly but surely happening. So, you know, one thing I like about this calling that the Lord has blessed me with regarding, you know, exposing Antichrist, I never have to look far to find any information to preach my message. I mean, the evils spewing from this church, the Roman Catholic Church, are absolutely everywhere. And again, if you're Catholic, I am not talking about you, okay? The emails, I mean, I don't know how many times I got to say in an email, look, I am, you know, you can call me any kind of name you want. First of all, would Jesus do that? Seriously. You know, speak slowly. That is a big lesson to learn. I mean, it's a lesson that took me a while to learn. Speak slowly. You know, when you start throwing things out there without bridling the tongue, James 1:26 says your religion's vain. So please, no hate mail. This is just tiresome. You know, and it's kind of stupid if you think about it, because you can be traced. Every computer is a unique, it's really ridiculously easy now. But anyway, I'm not a Catholic basher. I'm exposing the leaders of this church. I'm not bashing the people in it. I used to be Catholic for 29 years. So don't think that I'm doing this and I'm attacking you. I don't have a problem with you. I have a problem with your leaders, because they're lying to you. They were lying to me. That's why I got out of there. And that's the only reason I do what I do. I love you enough to tell you the truth, so have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? You make the decisions. I'm just laying out the facts. I didn't write the Bible, I didn't write the history books, so you figure it out. I like doing that, too. Sometimes I'll go like in with chat, like I do audio chats a lot. And I've done this many times. I'll come in and I'll throw out a whole mess of facts, historic and prophetic. And I'll say, I'm not going to tell you who Antichrist is. You tell me who it is after I show you these facts. And every time I've done it, the grand majority, I mean, not even 100% of the people in the audio chat, I don't care if there's 5 to 50 people in the room, every single solitary one of them will say the same thing. The house of Rome is the house of the Antichrist. So, anyway, I receive quite a bit of email daily about the antics of this literal vat of sin in Rome. This is truly an easy calling the Lord has blessed me with. The downside, of course, is that I'm only one man, and I have not the resources as of yet to be able to report on this, on every evil deed of this church. I truly got thousands and thousands of articles collecting dust that I would hope one day to be able to place online, or at least share them on the radio. If anybody has heard anything about what happened in Argentina, please email me. I'm not going to give my email address over the air, and it's not on my website either, because the spammers, you know, if you put, I do have the one on there, but I got forms on the website. If you want to contact me, just go to the Contact Us page and fill out the form, and don't forget to put your email address in there so that I can get back to you. So anyway, looks like we're out of time again. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries signing off for this week. Stop by the website that I think for more that I shared here. It's at remnantofgod.org. And please also stop by sdrvoice.org for information on a prophetic event that is happening in your lifetime. If you are a Sabbath-keeping Seventh-day Adventist, you need to stop by that website. It affects you directly. So don't forget to catch the rebroadcast of the show. It's moved. It's no longer on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. It's now on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central Time. See you next time, everybody.